Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
Really?
Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
Really, this is for Rachel and Erica.
Turn away and
they're
slam
up that generation.
It's really loud, by the way.
Well, because I need to let people know to let
no,
it go.
No, your finger keeps going up the pot.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Maybe I should let go of the pot.
There's so much that I need to let go of. First thing is Tim. So Kate and Nina are on the show right now with us. They're the authors of Let That Fecal Matter Go. Find peace of mind and happiness in your everyday. Life is stressful, Tim.
Yes, it is.
Can we have a little clip of Guy from Fraser, please? Because this, once the girls hear this clip, they will understand what they're dealing with. Okay? And I'm going to keep reading here. But does life doesn't have to be stressful. I mean, it's no wonder you can't calm down. And listen, this is me. This is me.
Hey, where's my tickets to the Sonics game? They were here just a second ago. Somebody stole my tickets to the Sonics game! This stinks! This is total BS! This is... Oh, got it. Got it. Okay, where's the French fries? I ordered French fries. This stinks! This is total BS! Eddie Bramoy is gonna... Oh, here they are.
This is my life. Okay, that's what happens in my life. So that's why I had to get these girls on the show. I need some serious, serious help. Here's a website you may want to go. Let that SHIT go, thebook.com. It's so hilarious that we've got to play these little games on air, you know?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to these two crazy cats, Kate and Nina. Hello. Who's going to talk
Hello.
First? Kate?
Yeah, this is Kate.
Hi, Kate. I have to differentiate your voices. So, Kate, you sound very enthusiastic. Nina, are you like a negative Nelly, or what's the difference?
Hopefully not. I wrote this book on finding happiness and calm. I hope I'm not negative Nelly, but I'm not perfect either.
All right. What I want to know is how you guys met. Like, what's the connection with you two? Nina?
So we both met at working for a startup quite a few years ago, and it's funny, we sat across from each other. We worked in marketing and sales, and, you know, we always thought, how can we bring mindfulness and meditation and, you know, happiness to people, because we both, you know, practice it in our own lives. And before you know it, here we are. Kate started her own business called Mind Matters, which is all about addressing mental health through incredible workshops that she runs and hires people for. And I started a business called Pure Mind, and I do mindfulness and meditation workshops for companies. And before you know it, we ran a few workshops together and were approached by HarperCollins to write this book.
Who is more wound up, Nina or Kate?
Me, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know who me is. Who's me?
No, sorry, me. That's Kate. This is Kate.
Kate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm definitely more prone to getting wound up, which is why, actually, you know, and I was in a really bad state probably like 5 years ago when I was working with Nina at a company that it just wasn't working for me. And I was stressed out and I was anxious and depressed. And I ended up meditating, and I found it really, really helped. And so I started to get into these books, learn more about it, and it helped to calm my mind. But that's not to say I still don't, you know, freak out every once in a while. But our whole book and what we've learned is to be really gentle with yourself. It doesn't mean, you know, you're going to be an enlightened monk after this. But it's really going to help you better handle stressful situations so you don't freak out as much.
So I've been introduced to the mindfulness scene a lot more in the last few years, ever since I hunkered down with the yoga people about 3 years ago. And the yoga people are a strange group of human beings. I learned to love them, and I appreciate so much about them. I really do. But, wow, there is a good reason these folks are doing yoga. There's a whole lot of people that just are getting wound about nothing. And they are the ones that are buying your books in droves. And I hope it's helping because, man, forget the yoga people. Put them aside just for a second. But just North Americans in general, everybody seems to be wound up about everything. You know, they asked me if I would be interested years ago, if I would be interested in doing the talk show Monday to Friday. And I said, no. It's like, why not? I said, well, I can't fake being that interested in that many topics. You have to be wound up. You got to be, what's the talk show word? Outraged with everything all the time. And oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a lot of things. It's funny. Like, we live in a society where we have access, you know, to almost everything. If you make over $30,000 a year, you're living in the top 0.5%. So we have anything and everything we possibly could in terms of material possessions. Yet we're one of the most unhappiest continents. You know, there's people all around the world who live on a dollar a day and are much happier, you know, than we are. And so there's got to be something to that. And so that's where we started kind of digging and doing some research and saying, what is really going on? And you're right, people are stressed to the max. 80% of people claim to be really stressed out. So, you know, with this book, it's all about, you know, not changing your lifestyle, not dropping your job, not taking that class. It's all about, you know, looking inwards and finding that, you know, you can find that the way to mitigate that stress internally versus looking externally for it.
And one thing you were saying about yogis and yoga, I think what's interesting to know is that people started practicing yoga to help them with their mind. It was initially just a helpful tool for their own meditation practice, which is not really talked about. So it's really funny that yoga kind of came first over here, and it's been so helpful and so healing. But what's been missing, I think, is the practice of, like, putting your mind and your mental health as a priority. So we kind of, you know, dug into that and put it in sort of layman terms and how you can practice mindfulness easily in your everyday.
Okay, Kate, how, oh man, you might hang up after this question.
Oh gosh, okay.
How is this book not just another one of those sort of cool, trendy books these days that are optimistic and tell you to ignore everything bad, but they do it with a bunch of swearing? You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. I love that you asked that question because I have an answer for you. So all of those books, and all of them have helped me very much too, but ours is specifically, and we don't actually reveal this till the end of the book. So because this is a spiritual channel, I feel like I can be really open with you guys. But the whole book is about mindfulness and meditation. So all of those other books are sort of like, you know, self-help ones where they throw in some swear words and things like that. But we've actually taken, and, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of hours that we've worked on this, but information from heavy, deep spiritual texts and brought it to you in like a more digestible way so that people can read it. So that's really, I mean, if you look at the bestseller list, there's tons of swear words in there, I know. Ours is really unique because we're really focused on mindfulness.
Okay. All right. I had a great conversation about mindfulness because I was listening to Oprah's podcast, because that's how I roll. And she had Jon Kabat-Zinn on again, and they're tight. And so I said, I want Jon Kabat-Zinn on. So Jon joined me not too long ago, and he really helped me understand this mindfulness thing, because every time I heard the word mindfulness, I had a mini vomit happen in the back of my throat.
You're not the only one.
Well, yeah, because it's kind of like the try too hard kumbaya Hallmark people. And here's the thing. It's a North American antidote. This is like, mindfulness is a North American antidote to North Americanism. Because those that are just trying to survive day by day in different parts of the world because they don't have hardly enough food or shelter, or their families or crops are being decimated, or they have to walk 300 miles to get water. I don't know. Whatever their thing is, they're not walking around going, oh, I'm so stressed because of so many things that are happening in my life, and my schedule is way too full, and I don't like the way I look, and I need to lose weight, and I've got to do yoga, and I've got to be more mindful. They're not doing that.
No, they're not. They're just trying to survive. You're right.
So I'm thinking mindfulness is the antidote for North Americanism. What do you think? Who wants to take that one?
This is Nina. I can take that. I think that's a really good point, because what's happening at the crux of it is that we think between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts a day. Okay, so we're thinking between 35 and 42 thoughts a minute. And I think that is very conducive to North American culture, because we are always on the go. Physically, we're always on the go, but mentally, our minds are running even faster. And that doesn't happen when you're just trying to survive and put food on the table. You're not having these million things coming at you. You're not on social media comparing yourself to everyone's best life. So I do think that there is an aspect of mindfulness that is really relevant to people who are, you know, in these stressful jobs, in these, you know, situations where they're always wanting more out of life and nothing's ever good enough. And when they get that car, then, you know, a year or two, they want the next one. Mm. And that does happen a lot here. So I think that that is a great point, that it's something that is very relevant. Not that it can't be relevant to other people in other countries or people who are not as well off, but I think it's this society where we're constantly seeking happiness externally and wanting the next thing, where this is a problem.
There are so many sacred scriptures. I don't know, they come to mind. So one of them is, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. And that means, so within that scripture, there's this concept of having a boundary. So as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. But sometimes the other person is such a jerk that there's no way you can be at peace with them. But as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. And then if it's not, then have some healthy boundary there and step off, like get away, right? Mm-hmm. So cleanse your social circles of whack jobs, maybe is another way to sort of do it as well. There was another scripture that came to mind when I was looking through the list of things that you guys talk about. I mean, get rid of past and future worries. Well, again, a sacred scripture says something like, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not, there's no guarantee of your next breath. And
exactly.
And the past will weigh you down so fierce. So we all know about how the impact the past has on us. But this mindfulness stuff, now, girls, you're the pros in this. I'm the schmuck that's just kind of processing it. My brain, I'm an Enneagram 4. I don't know if you know what that means, but the point is, I spend all of my time in the past and all of my time in the future. In order for me to be in the now, I have to chop wood. Help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what we talk about. So, and from an anthropological standpoint, this has helped us survive as a species, right? I mean, it's the sympathetic nervous system. We get worried and anxious, but sometimes that motivates us, right? It helps us through the next day. It helps us get that exam or get the promotion at our work. And that's great. And, you know, we also say not all stress is bad. But the problem is if we're always there, right, we're always thinking about the next thing, or we're upset about the past, we're missing out on what's here. And so, you know, and I love how you said, you know, that word mindfulness kind of makes me want to vomit, because it can be sort of this catch-all phrase. And we don't even use the word mindfulness until the last chapter of the book. But I want to reframe that to calling it calming the mind. And so to do that, we just say, you know, use your senses, look around, because there's a magic here of being alive. Mm. As you said, we don't know what's going to be next, right? Like, it's a miracle that we're here. And so as we start to notice things by listening, by smelling, by touching, that essentially calms your worries down, whatever they might be. And you're getting a chance to enjoy what's in front of you, what's in this moment.
Yeah, and I think Jon Kabat-Zinn actually, in that podcast, I think I know which one you're talking about with Oprah, he says, you know, when we're in the shower, are we ever really in the shower? Like, we're in the shower, we're thinking about work. We're at work, we're thinking about home. We're at home, we're thinking about what we should have not said 2 weeks ago. And so...
When you're in the shower, be in the shower.
Yeah. We have this tool that we talk about where, you know, speak out loud what you're doing. When you're doing the dishes and your mind is on 2 weeks from now, or really anxious about, you know, how this interview is going to go, you know, you go back to the present moment and say, you know, now I'm putting soap on this sponge, and now I'm making circular motions on this pot, and now I'm rinsing this pot. Now I put, and if you really hone in, it might feel silly, but you really hone in on the here and now, and it just makes you feel grateful for the present moment, and you're not anywhere else. I mean, you might have to rein your mind in a couple times in 5 minutes, but it's a great tool.
Yeah, this was something that I first practiced a couple of years ago. I walked the Camino de Santiago, which is a 1,200-year-old pilgrimage. So I walked from France across Spain to the Atlantic, and I did it within a 3-month vow of silence. And for me to shut up for 3 months, that proves there's a God right there. but when my, like, all I'm left with is the speed of my mind, and I could actually see the thoughts whizzing in front of me. Just hyperspeed, thought after thought after thought after thought after thought. And I had to actually practice mindfulness in order to not go insane.
Anyway. Totally. And we talk about that in the book, that we basically have these two minds. We have this chatty mind that is thought after thought after thought, the monkey mind. Then we have this observing mind. And the observing mind is the one that reins it in. Like you used your observing mind during that 3-month pilgrimage to say, stop. Now you're on the 20th thought of this thing. It's not productive. Bring it back. So that is you using your observing mind. And the second you use your observing mind, you're in the present moment. But, you know, the other issue with North America is we're so freaking distracted
the time. Like, I'm sorry, what?
An issue. We are so distracted.
I'm sorry. What?
Sorry, I was looking at my phone. What?
What?
Exactly. So an issue comes up for us and we don't want to deal. So we pick up the phone, we scroll through it, we turn on Netflix, we call a friend, we go to the mall, we shop, you know, and we're not dealing with stuff. So subconsciously, there's all this stuff going on that comes up, you know, in the middle of the night or, you know, when we're on vacation because we don't have anything to do. So our book talks about, you know, address that stuff that's going on. We're not saying suppress it or ignore it. Bring it up, address it, and then let it go.
Okay, both of you are doing this for a reason. That means you have a story. That means that you kind of jumped into this mindfulness stuff, and then, there was a reason you jumped into this mindfulness stuff, and then you found that it actually worked. So who's got the more dramatic story? Who has had the worst, you know, the craziest dance with darkness? Which one?
We're pretty even.
Yeah.
We can both tell our stories, but gosh. Yeah, Kate, why don't you?
So I was diagnosed with breast cancer about 3 years ago.
I'm so sorry. That is not cool.
Okay. And then re-diagnosed with stage 4 about 2 years ago.
What?
So I'm doing really well now. But before I was diagnosed, I had actually begun practicing mindfulness, and it really, really helped me in those super dark times. And just, you know, as I was saying earlier, just to recognize the magic that's around us and to catch my thought patterns and realize, you know, what am I actually saying to myself, using the observing mind and kind of and using it to calm down and help me through those really stressful situations. But I just really wanted to share this with the world, and I'm so lucky to have met Nina. Both of us have this shared passion and been able to put this out. But yeah, I'll let Nina, you can tell.
Okay, but hold on. I can't just hear that story and not have some follow-up. I mean, are you
of course, yeah, sorry,
are you okay?
Am I okay?
Hold on. What a dumb question. Tim, that might be the worst question I've asked in 16 years.
And it's on record.
Oh, my goodness.
Up later this week on drewmarshall.ca.
Kate, what's going on? Like what I want to hear you say is, oh, yeah, no, it's all good. I'm cancer-free. Are you?
No, I'm not cancer-free yet, but I'm really, really healthy. So lots of people have been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer and can live a very long time, and there's lots of good drugs that are out there and like healing modalities that I've used. So, I'm doing really well. I might be cancer-free. I could also live with it for a very long time, but as far as my oncologist knows and my herbalist goes, I'm extremely healthy, so I'm feeling really good.
I just imagine your oncologist and your herbalist at a social gathering at your place, and the discussion would happen out of that.
Also sounds like the start of a hippie joke.
It does. Yeah, my oncologist met my herbalist. And
oh, man. No, I don't think that'll happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
Good for you.
I'm not real good at saying this, but you go, girl.
Thank you.
That just got really awkward right there. I should never say that ever again.
Very awkward.
Nina.
It comes so naturally.
Nina, what's your baggage?
Yeah, I just have to give quick kudos to Kate that she wrote this whole book, like, going through all that. So, you know, she would be halfway through a chapter. She's like, I got to go get blood work. I got to go. And it was so incredibly inspiring. So I'm so proud of her. So when I was, when I was 16, my parents were going through a pretty horrible divorce. And a few months into it, my dad ended up murdering my brother and committing suicide. And I was able to, like, by the stroke of luck, get out of that situation. So I would have suffered the same fate as my brother had not some miraculous things happen. So that at 16, that was about 22 years ago, I started to really question what life was about and why was I here and, you know, just appreciate everything. Because one second they're here and the next second they're gone. And that is life. You know, you never know what's going to happen when. And so that happened. And then, you know, my mom and I became very, very close. She was my best friend. You know, we did everything together. And then 4 years ago, she was diagnosed with ALS. So it was like, here we go again. I was 4 months pregnant when she passed away. And so it was a whole year of complete polarizations of, you know, life ending and new life. But yeah, so I've you know, had to deal with a lot of challenge, a lot of death. And, you know, with that, you know, in and of depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, survivor guilt, I mean, you name it. So the only thing, I mean, I saw a psychologist galore, child psychologist, psychiatrist, but the one thing that really kept me peaceful, that really kept me grounded was my meditation and my mindfulness practice. So it is something that I've always wanted to kind of share with the world and show them that through adversity, you can find happiness if you lean into yourself.
But seriously, what do I say? What do I say now? Oh, yeah, right. I'm on radio. So, Nina, holy crap. And when someone says, I'm so sorry that happened to you, immediately someone says, no, it's okay. No, it's not okay. That was, you were never designed to have to carry that kind of a load.
Totally, especially at 16.
Totally. Yeah.
I had to grow up pretty fast emotionally. But yeah, I mean, I also, like, Kate and I have moments where, as odd as this sounds, we're almost grateful for our challenges, because I feel like if, you know, I just had this quote-unquote normal family, I don't know if I'd had this quest, this thirst for learning more and wanting to share it. I would probably be a completely different person. So in the same way, as painful as all that was, and it still is sometimes, it's shaped us into, you know, who we are today.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for it in a way.
Well, I am too, in a weird way, because here, this is something... Sometimes I go to say things and there's a little voice that says, dude, you really want to say this? And then I ignore that voice and then I get, you know, I say something dumb. Somebody else wrote a book with the same title last year. And I looked at that book. And that is the wrong book for people to read. This is the right book for people to read. And the reason is because that book was written by somebody having to do with the world of Playboy. And this book is written by two women who have risen up above it. They have been, they have had to carry loads that they were never designed to carry. I said that already, and I just, girls, thank you for writing this book. You, and because you've earned it. Like, I was really worried it was just going to be more, you know, pop fluff with swear words. But you guys, man, this is going to take off. I cannot wait to see what's next for you two.
Thank you. That
Thank
means so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Kate,
yeah, we're trying to get into the States right now, so.
Well, you better get in soon before they build the wall. Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
so
much.
No, that means a lot. Thanks so
much. Yeah, that's very, very meaningful. Thank you.
Kate and Nina, they're the authors of Let That Fecal Matter Go. I just love saying fecal matter. It's so fun.
We haven't heard that one.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Find peace of mind and happiness in your everyday. And of course, the website is letthatshitgothebook.com. Listen, anytime you guys want to come and co-host a show with me, I think it'd be a blast, and I'd love to hear actually more of your stories. So good to chat with both of you, Kate and Nina. Have a great weekend, girls.
Thank you.
You too.
You
have
too.
A great weekend.
Love to.
Okay.
Have a weekend.
Thanks so much.
All right. I'll have my people talk to your people. See you, girls. Bye. Wow. Tim and I just went, what?
What?
We kind of...
You know, I think the other thing, too, that applies to this discussion about why a book is, you know, it's the idea that it's like AA only works because the people who are there have been through it.
Yeah.
It's not someone saying, oh, I heard a story about and this is how they got through it. This is how it's like.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Both of them is sort of like, oh, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. Oh, my goodness.
Man. You know, they would have either written that book or written country music. One or the other.
Yes.